Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You're listening to Castrol CarCast on Podcast One.
Hey guys, we're going to have a fun show today. We're going to have our friend Alistair Weaver back on from Edmunds.com. We're going to talk about all new F-150 and get into that. Before we get started, right now, Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies. That's a 15% discount on top of the money Geico already saves you. So what are you waiting for? Your dog to make you breakfast in bed? Nah, that's never going to happen. But you know, saving money can. There's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Visit geico.com to learn more. Guys, welcome to CarCast. I'm Matt, the moderator, DeAndrea, here with Bill Goldberg, and we're welcoming our good friend Alistair Weaver from Edmunds.com back onto the show. Oh, how are you guys? How are you, Bill?
Good, Matt. Feels like Groundhog Day again with the virus showing its ugly head, rearing its ugly head again.
Yeah, I know. It's on and it's off and it's on and it's off, it seems like. Alistair, how are you doing, buddy?
Yeah, pretty much the same. Kind of ready for it all be over and get on with life a little bit. But yeah, I'm okay. I mean, podcasts are all about being positive, so I'm good.
There you go. All right, before we get started, a shout out to our friends at Dodge. It's time for Dodge Power Dollars, and that means for each horsepower, you'll get $10 off your purchase on a Dodge Charger, Challenger, and Durango. So come in for Dodge Power Dollars today for a pretty sweet deal. All kinds of cool stuff to talk about. Of course, F-150 was a big debut. We want to get into that and some other things as well. I thought the debut of F-150 was very interesting. I thought the truck looks good. Not a huge departure in design because the design has been pretty successful for them so far. It had some pretty cool features, but before we get into that, quick update. I went to my friend Dave's house and picked up the BMW M3. You guys know the story of all the issues, the ups and downs of that thing, getting it tuned and getting it cool. Dave did such a good job. He's just so meticulous on everything he does on that thing. So it runs fantastic. There doesn't seem to be any cooling issues at all. New fans and just all the work he did on it, between all the proper wiring, by the way, he went through on the ECU and just redid the mess wiring, fixed everything up. We put fan controllers on the fan, so it's not just a hard on or off. It's progressive. It kicks on at about 60% when you need it and then ramps up, which also helps eliminate that shock on the system. It doesn't go from zero to whatever full, you know, like if you may have an amp and a fan, it may pull, I don't know, 30 amps, but when it first fires on, it could spike to, you know, 40 or more, right? So this soft touch version is much better. And the idea that it's a progressive switch and it ramps up the fans when you need it, it's less wear and tear on the motors for the fan. So it's definitely something that in the world of engine cooling, I think more of the manufacturers are moving in this direction. But these components are available in the aftermarket, and I would recommend them to anybody doing anything on a hot rod. If you're starting to add horsepower and improve the cooling,
oh my god, yes!
Like these PWMs, I think some people call them, it's a pulse width module. that slowly ramps up the cooling fans. It's a game changer. And of course, there's the AC bypass when you turn on the air, the fans come on. But anyway, thing runs great. It's fast as hell. I forgot that we put the new clutch in it, the ACT clutch, and it's so much better. It's not killing my knee. It's not killing my leg.
But the question of the hour is this week on the podcast, are you going to keep it or are you going to sell it?
I'm going to sell it. I'm going to sell it. It's got 25,000 miles on it. I'll put a few miles on it. I just want to, have a little bit of fun with it. But
why don't you enjoy it for a little while after all of the painstaking work that's been done instead of just dumping it? I mean, enjoy it for a little bit. But you just don't want to break it again before you get rid of it, right?
So part of it is...
I enjoy it, man.
Part of it is this, is the M3s are doing pretty well. And they're doing pretty well, like, on Bring a Trailer and stuff. And this car is very cool, all of the mods and stuff that are on it. And I feel like it's right at that point of if I put 10,000 more miles on it, I'm going to take a hit in value. And if I don't put it on there, I can enjoy it for a little bit. I can sell it, have somebody else enjoy it, and kind of do what they want for it. And then because I'm really liking the GT500. And I do like the new Mach 1, and I don't need another car.
but that's the endless loop continues.
But that's kind of what we do here, right? So,
Matt, do you want to borrow our GT500?
I just drove one. Wait, is yours? Yes. I'm just going to say yes.
Yeah. Just shut up and say yes.
Yeah. Listen, anybody that says you want to drive a GT500, I've driven three of them, and yes, I want to drive it. So I had a conversation with the dealer. They tried to explain the markup to me, and I tried not to boil my blood and have my head pop off the top of my body because you know how I feel about dealer markups. So that being
said, what are they quoting, Matt?
$25,000 over sticker.
That seems to be a nice number that all these manufacturers.
I don't know why. And I'm sure you can negotiate it a bit. And I still want to get into the whole markup thing. It's going to get me irritated. And as Alistair pointed out, podcasts are for fun, not for being pissed.
So if you get the carbon pack and all the goodies, basically that's a 125K Mustang.
It's I think I priced it out at about 105 and
with the 25 on, but then 25 on top, right?
Yes. Yeah, so it would have been 130 with everything.
Remember, now, Alistair, just positive.
Yeah. Stay positive, right? Stay positive. So here's
so basically, it's the same price as a 911 Carrera S.
Bingo.
Yeah. Which is another idea.
And another conversation, right, and another podcast.
Okay, so speaking of 911s, how is your 911, Alistair? What year is your car?
So mine's a 97, so it's a 993. It's the last of the air-cooled.
I like those.
It's a lovely, lovely thing. I had one in the UK, then sold it when I came here, and then actually ended up buying. I thought about... tried loads of things, thought about everything, and then ended up buying pretty much the same car. They're just a lovely thing because you can drive them every day. You can do pretty, you can take it shopping and things like that. But at the same time, it looks fabulous. It feels special. And I was actually talk about rivals, but I was reading the original road test on Car and Driver the other day, and you realize like how much things have moved on. This thing has the same wheelbase as a Miata, but actually there's like four seats inside, and it's tiny. And 911s now have got so big. And what I love about it is, you drive it at 30 miles an hour and it feels special. And a lot of the time on the road, that's what you need. And I don't want to kind of massively modify it. I think there's a couple of things I'd like to do. I'm going to try and protect the paintwork, but also maybe put a slightly noisier exhaust on it because that air-cooled motor just sounds so good. So maybe upgrade the suspension. Bilstein, Porsche have some new shocks for it. Like to do the exhaust. And then also in time, Porsche brought out a classic radio which does CarPlay, which would be great as well.
Yeah.
The exhaust probably the first on the list.
I'm with you on that with the exhaust. But the thing about exhaust is it's a very particular thing. So anybody that's shopping for exhaust, we've all done this. You just deep dive into YouTube videos and listen to as many different exhaust clips as you can. You'll even try to find five different clips of the same exhaust just in case it's being recorded differently or different distance away, front of the car, rear of the car. Have you found something that you're leaning to right now? Is there a particular exhaust that you like?
There's a lot of people talking about the, it's called a Pfister, F-I-S-T-E-R, strange name, Pfister Stage 2.
Yeah.
And then if you want to go free flow cats and things like that, you can do that as well. But that seems to be a decent mix of something which doesn't make it, I don't want it too exhausty.
Yeah.
You know, you also want to kind of hear the end and hear the, you know, the balance of the sound. But 993s, if you drive early 911s, 993s are very quiet and they're actually pretty, they're comfortable. And, you know, this is my, you know, I'm my very privileged toy, if you like, and I just want to be able to hear it a bit more. So I kind of want to preserve the character and the sound, but just turn the volume up a little bit.
Right. So,
well, I mean, Alistair, I've got that 92, and I'm going to use your situation as a case study. But, you know, the only thing I'd want to do exhaust wise on the 92 is accentuate the sound that's already there, just magnify it.
Yeah,
I think
this might do it. So let's look into that exhaust. Maybe we'll pull some clips or something of that at some point. And then you guys out there in the world that are listening to it, if you have that Pfister exhaust, let me know what you guys think about it. Reach out to Alistair as well. He's Alistair Weaver on Twitter. And then he changed his Instagram.
I succumbed to peer pressure.
I want
to
hear
every time I come on this show, nobody can say Alistair, so I had to get rid of Alistair completely. And then every time I come on this show, you all laugh at Weavermeter. So I'm now Weaver on cars.
Weaver on cars. Weaver on cars. Wait, Weavermeter is gone. I loved Weavermeter.
Yeah. I'm approximately 1.5 million followers behind Goldberg, so.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. I think we all are. I'm in the negative numbers. All right, so reach out to Alistair. Let him know what you guys think of that exhaust. If anybody out there is running the exhaust, we want to hear see some clips. Tag us on those, you know, let's see if we can chat with somebody from this company. Hook a brother up. See what it sounds like.
Sounds good. I mean, there's such a big market for that whole air cool thing, and you know, particularly here around Southern California. And yeah, I think Bill's absolutely right. You don't want to kind of go crazy with these things, but what you want to do is just, you know, and technology moves on, and that's the interesting thing about some of the suspension stuff. You put it on modern tires, and suddenly the original suspension doesn't really work anymore because, you know, the tires have changed and mm-hmm. modern road conditions. So it's about preserving the character of the car, but then just kind of iterating a bit.
It's funny, I've been, this past week, I've been driving a Chevy Bolt with a B, the Chevy Bolt, the electric car. And I got in there, it was like, yeah, it's kind of small and you know, it's not super sexy. And then it just felt like a big golf cart to me. And then, you know, 3 days into it, 4 days into it, 5 days into it, I was like, I'm kind of liking it more and more. It's a great little car. It's a commuter car, and it's great to zip around town in. I mean, it definitely fits in parking spots that you can't normally fit in. It's quiet, which, and the power's not bad, and the range seemed fine. I wasn't getting like range anxiety, and I started having more fun with it throughout the week. And then I started thinking, hey, you know what? I will mention this car. And I will say this is a pretty cool electric car to get. I think it's a great commuter around town car, and it does things well. And by the way, it has the gauges in the right location. It's not wonky with stuff in the middle and the center stack and the whatever. Like, it feels like a car, and you know, not a lot of features on the inside, and the seats are very flat. And I get they're probably spending more money on the electric drivetrain than they are on all the fancy features. But you know, the CarPlay worked, the gauges were fine, the touchscreen was fine, everything was fine. But yes, but then to your point, after spending a week in that car, I go from that directly into my M3. I fire it up, supercharger's whistling, blow-off valve is blowing off on the freeway, and the exhaust, the Magnaflow exhaust is making all kinds of noise. I'm like, yeah, I think I'm over the bolt. Like it was fine. It like I was starting to like it, but then I was like, it's fine. It can go back now. It's good. Which is funny because the next press car is the Volvo V90 wagon. I'm getting the Volvo wagon.
That's a nice thing.
Yeah.
That's a lovely thing.
And I'm excited about driving the wagon, but I'm driving the M3 for a few days. Then I'll get the Volvo wagon, and then Galpin's going to finish up on the truck, and I'm going to get that back with its next phase of stuff done to it. So I'm going to be going back, and that truck's loud. That's got the full Magnaflow exhaust. That's got 1¾-inch headers on it, right, in anticipation of the new engine. So there's some cool stuff there as well. But all right, let's talk Ford F-150. This is a big thing. I watched the debut. They did a great job. They got Dennis Leary in there yapping about F-150. So I thought he was good. He did fine. He was a good host. Some pretty cool stuff. And in the world of F-150, there is 6 engine options, as you would expect. There are 11 front grill options, as you would expect, something along the lines of that. Just an overview, we can get details from you, Alistair. But a few features that I thought were interesting. One is the hybrid version. The hybrid version, it's got, I believe it's the 3.5-liter EcoBoost turbo paired up with electric motors and the battery. I don't know where the motors are, transmission, front, rear. I don't know how it works. Maybe Alistair does know. But it's a combined range of gas and electric with up to 700 miles on one tank of fuel, which is fantastic. The other thing is that that battery gives you onboard power to basically replace a generator that you would use on the job site. I think the F-150 also has this ability, but not as much voltage or not as much longevity on the power. Alistair, you can correct me on that.
Not as much current. Not as much power, not as much current.
What's cool about it is there are several normal outlets. Let's call them 110 outlet, 120 outlets. But there's also, because of that onboard battery, there's a 240 plug on there. You can go to the track and bring a welder with you and basically do chassis repairs and stuff like that if you need to. Or you can go on site and you can run significant equipment. This isn't like the 110 power outlet in that a lot of cars, and you plug in anything more than a radar detector, it's going to pop. It's like this actually produces some power. And if you want to charge your gear while you're going to the job site, you can plug the stuff in, charge up the batteries of your power tools as you're driving. It doesn't need to be stationary to do it. So those were cool features. And then the last one I'll mention real quick is I like the idea of they polled their audience and said, hey, do you want a column shifter or center console? And everyone's like, I want the center console. Column's too old school. And they said, great. So they came up with the center console shifter, which they've had for a while. That folds flat when you're parked, completely flat. And then the armrest folds down another, you know, like it'll unfold twice and becomes a platform. You can write on it. You can put a laptop on it. You can eat your lunch on it. Now it's kind of like a business class or first class seat on a plane. I thought that was a pretty cool, kind of ingenious little feature on it. And the tailgate has some things where you can hook up some C-clamps. It's got a built-in a ruler basically on there so you can measure stuff. My first thought was that ruler is basically embossed into the plastic bed liner. And my first test for you, Alistair, when you get one of these F-150s, is check the goddamn accuracy of that ruler. I just feel like the way it's stamped into the bed liner in the back, the plastic bed liner, it's like, what are the chances it's going to be accurate? You know, like, and by the way, if you go and get yourself a tape measure, if you buy tape measures, let's just say from 3 different countries, of origin, I think you're going to find they're not all accurate. So when you step up to like the good brand name, you know, the Snap-on tape measure, it's going to be more accurate than, let's say, the Harbor Freight one. I don't want to pick on Harbor Freight, but let's pick on Harbor Freight.
I literally have my Stanley tape measure right here.
Yeah, there you go, right there. Anyway, some this cool features of the there you go. You got a foot. Is it a foot and 12. A half? 12?
Well, it's 13 inches.
There you go. Anyway, all right. That's my intro to F-150. Bill, have you seen any of the photos pop up of F-150, some of the features, the fold-down seats?
I know what they're doing. You know, obviously, these days, you're catering to a different segment, the more doodads and things that you have the ability to plug into your vehicle, the more appetizing it is to the public now. So I get what they're doing. I think the lay-down desk thing is really cool, actually. Yeah. I'd use it a lot. But
I would.
You know, like you said, it's a really strange time to be debuting vehicles. But with what they've done and the success they've had on this vehicle in the past and the changes that they've made to it, it's not like they're really debuting a new vehicle. They're just debuting an enhanced vehicle that's proven to sell the hell out of a lot of trucks. So I think it's cool. I'm still a Dodge guy.
Yeah, right on. Alistair, what's your take on the F-150? What do you think when you
saw it? Yeah, I think it's interesting. Bill's talking about, you know, the Ram really moved the game on, particularly in the interior. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's been kind of Edmund's top rated truck. It's won our award for the last couple of years. And that was a real step ahead, both with the rear suspension. And Ford hasn't gone with a more sophisticated rear suspension. It's still
a leaf spring
in the back. And
Ram has coil springs in the back.
Yeah, exactly. And that was that's a little bit of a surprise. But that's one question mark we'd have against it. But certainly inside, they've really, you know, Ram lifted the game with the big screen. And what they were finding, I think, when Ram originally brought that out, they had this big sort of vertical, like an iPad in your dash. And I think they initially expected take up to be pretty small. And actually, they suddenly realized that everybody was wanting one of these. Everybody was buying them. So Ford's really, really carried on. But actually, I think it's better that their big screen is horizontal, not vertical. It makes it better for things like CarPlay if you're using that. Mm-hmm. And just that attention to detail is great. We talked about the power sources, the little fold-out table. I love the fact that you can have an option where the seats will recline almost 180 degrees like they do on a business class seat on an old plane. So you can, you know, if you need to sleep overnight, you're traveling cross country or something like that, that's great. And, you know, the thought that's gone into these trucks now compared to where we were, say, 10 years ago is huge. They're much more of a kind of lifestyle choice. But, I mean, they're getting expensive. I mean, you can probably spend $80,000, $90,000 if you really
want to go all in.
Yeah.
In a heartbeat. And I'm curious to see the segment, you know, what they've done with the Raptor. And the rumors are that they're trashing the V6 turbo and they're going back to the V8. And now Dodge is coming out September, October, supposedly, with the TRX, finally. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious to see what's going to happen in that segment. Obviously, I'm curious to see what my TRX is going to look like. But, you know, it's amazing what they've done over the last couple of years with the Dodge trucks.
The other thing, interesting, Matt, you're talking about the hybrid, and you're quite right about, like, the power tools and everything else. But if you're towing, then actually having a hybrid powertrain, that instantaneous torque, that's going to be huge for people who are towing regularly.
Do you know how the hybrid powertrain is working on that? Is it all-wheel drive? Is it rear-wheel drive? Are there electric motors? There's like an electric motor on the transmission, like a, I don't know, like a LaFerrari or whoever's doing it. Is it McLaren, P1?
There's a little bit of stuff to come. I mean, it's standard. It's the 3.5 liter V6. Just got some of the facts in front of me, Matt. 3.5 liter V6, 47 horsepower electric motor. So Ram has like a mild hybrid system, but this is a proper hybrid. You know, like you'd find in a Prius or something. And what they're tuning it for is, yes, it should be interesting to see how the economy runs out and how the range. I mean, 700 miles for, you know, if you're going long distance in your truck, it's fantastic. Be interesting to see how it tows because it should be a big bonus for that.
They say 12,000 pounds. That's a solid number.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be quite a thing.
Let me ask you. I got two questions. You mentioned Raptor and TRX. I got a question about that. But on the F-150, I posted some stuff on social media, and the guys on Instagram and Facebook, they all brought up some interesting points. Some people are decisions are made, right? You're a Ford guy. You're not a Ford guy. You like them. You don't like them. Whether you even see the truck in person, there's a lot of decisions that are already made. And part of it is fun. Part of it's banter, and it's all good. But where are we with technology today and the quality of technology? Because when you start looking at like the power outlets and the fold down seats and the wireless CarPlay and the seats that are turned into beds in the front and and all this movement, are we at a point where all of that stuff is expected to work for a while, or are we still at a point of going, hey, putting 15 electric motors into the front seat maybe is not the smartest idea because now we've got 15 more things that can potentially break? I know that's sort of the go-to comment for a lot of people, but and not to pick on other car companies, but this isn't, you know, a 22-year-old Jaguar, right? Like, this is where you expect some of those things to happen, right? This isn't the infotainment system in one of those cars, you know? This is, and we've had discussions on infotainment as well. It's like, why do these car companies still trying to spend $100 million developing their own system when it makes more sense to just try to partner with somebody who's doing it and doing it for multiple car companies? I think probably the biggest feature for the F-150, believe it or not, is over-the-air updates. You know, being able to tweak the software and stuff and not even go into the dealer is probably a huge leg up for Ford and the reliability of that vehicle. But, if you tell somebody, hey, I'm going to buy a truck and it's a work truck and I do keep those trucks 5, 6, 7 years. You don't lease them. You buy them. You keep them for a while. Do you get full laid down power seats with a million motors in it, or do you tell them not to get that stuff?
It's a tough call. The other one I think everybody's talking about is the gear stick that goes up and down. Mm-hmm. You know, it looks great when it's brand new, but on that day when it's minus 20 outside and you're trying to that damn thing doesn't go up, what's the redundancy on it? It's very. I had an interesting conversation with Ford's EV engineers who are developing the Ford electric car. I dare not say its name, the Mustang. But they and they were saying, I said, well, what is the redundancy on this stuff, particularly the over-air updates?
Yeah.
At what point do you kind of turn it off? And they said they have a responsibility to always protect the safety kit. So to always update things like blind spot monitoring and make sure that is robust. On the technology side, it's a bit like an iPhone. So if you've still got an iPhone 5, you can't run the latest iOS. And Apple will still allow you to have a version of an iOS, but it's not like you can keep updating because sooner or later the processor and the RAM and all the rest of it just runs out of ability to run the latest systems. But you're right, these things are so electronic now in 10 years' time. And these, you know, people buy these trucks and keep them for a decade or more. Or people buy them, you know, there's a huge market for older trucks for different purposes. So it's a challenge, most definitely.
And on the topic of Raptor, Raptor's been successful. I think it's been, you can answer this question, I think it's been successful with sales, but also successful as a halo truck for that brand. I mean, you've got the best-selling vehicle in the world, arguably, the F-150. I don't know where we are with, like, I don't know, Camry or something, but, you know, the F-150.
Well, America's the world, isn't it, really?
Yeah, right? Is the best-selling vehicle in America. Does Dodge create something like the TRX with a crazy motor to be a halo vehicle and get us talking about it again? Or is it because they will make money? They will sell 10 or 20,000 a year. Like, is this a financial gain or is this a press gain? Not that there's anything wrong with having the halo vehicle as a press vehicle. Like, I get that, right? You want people talking about the brand and going, hey, Raptors are badass. Not everybody wants a Raptor, but in the media, we love talking about the Raptor, and hopefully that trickles down to a bunch of F-150 sales. You know, what's your thought on that Raptor TRX? Is the Silverado going to end up doing something as like they have their off-road? I don't know, Z71 and whatever. Are they going to end up doing their thing?
Chevy's the interesting one right now, because the Silverado was in many ways, particularly the interior, a bit of a disappointment when it came out a couple of years ago. And we did a triple test, and actually the Silverado came third behind the F-150, which was older. And that truck now looks dated next to the Ram, particularly the new F-150. So you've got to think Chevy has got to do something just to breathe some life into Silverado. A lot of these vehicles, I know, I remember I shot a documentary in my old life on the development of the Ford Focus RS, and they were adamant that they had to have a proper business model behind this car, that car, that the days when you could just do these as a kind of marketing thing were over, really. Mm-hmm. And yes, there was a marketing value to it, but it still needed to kind of stand up, which is why they did the RS, but they never did the RS500 version,
yeah,
which would have been incredible, but they just couldn't make the business case. So, yeah, people have, you know, as budgets have got tighter, and who knows what impact COVID, you know, all these brands have been losing billions.
Yeah.
Some of these more kind of, you know, so some of these nice to have projects, they're going to get canned. And that's going to be a shame.
I'm curious how the car companies plan to roll out some of these, because you have to get back to business. You have to make money. And you're right, there's the issues of, can they build them? There's a safety issue in the manufacturing plants. And then, do you go and buy them? There's a safety issue at the dealers. And then there's the, do people have money to buy them? Like, especially the average person that would get a work truck or something like that, or whatever. We're not talking about the Ferrari dealership. I don't know that they're hurting, although McLaren is. Nobody's buying McLarens right now. But it's weird how some of these are affected and some of them aren't. But by and large, the automotive industry is taking a big hit financially.
To be honest, mate, it's a really funny market right now. And our website traffic is a real barometer of the industry, because ultimately we're talking to people buying vehicles. And our traffic is absolutely flying. We're actually above where we would have predicted to be without COVID. Some of that is we're probably doing a better job, but some of that is also pent-up demand. And one of the big problems right now in the market, I mean, everybody's like, oh, great, there's loads of deals. Well, there was for a short time, but now there's big supply and demand issues. They haven't been able to ramp up production fast enough. And I was talking to some Toyota executives. They were really worried about what they call a hockey stick recovery, where it goes along flat and then suddenly it takes off, because they knew that they just couldn't build vehicles fast enough. And certain vehicles, popular vehicles, are running out of inventory. So the demand is there that they can't satisfy, and that's a big problem. So it's such a funny market. There's a lot of, even if the big brands can get their plants going again, there's big problems with suppliers who don't have the financial firepower to put all those kind of steps that you need in place. And yet at the same time, there appears to be really strong demand in the market. We can see that from our site. People are spending more time on our site. They're submitting more leads to dealers, things like that. So there's a market there. Can you satisfy it? Can you satisfy it at the right price point and everything else? So it's a really strange time. But any fear that you would have like a 2008, 2009 situation where the market would just crash completely, there does seem to be demand out there.
The funny thing is, and I'll footnote your comments by saying that I just left a local Dodge dealership and they had a record May,
yeah,
for new cars. Hmm. And the problem now is supply and demand. These dealers cannot get the inventory to sell, because people, for whatever reason during the pandemic, whether it's sitting at home, you know, being bored, getting on the internet, you know, just looking at used cars, or coming in, you know, when there's nobody in the dealership and getting these great deals. It's amazing to me that these local dealerships are doing so well.
Yeah. I mean, our traffic initially dropped off about 40%. So, you know, we're suddenly staring at that, and that, you know, has a massive impact on us clearly. And then suddenly it's recovered. It's, but everybody's, you know, there's marketing, but how do you market a product that doesn't exist because you can't build it fast enough? You know, there's all sorts of fears as the new waves come through. I mean, mini plant in the UK, suddenly 15 people got the virus. And then it's like, do we shut it down? Do we not? There's, you know, as you know, big problems in California, big problems across a lot of the southern states at the moment, like where Bill is. So, yeah, it's and then there's all the knock-on effect as people start, you know, unfortunately, more people are probably going to lose their jobs and things like that. So how will that impact the market? I think the next 18 months are going to be tricky for everyone.
You know, you'd mentioned we're talking about finances and major manufacturers. I read a little note about McLaren and they got bailed out. What do you know about that situation?
Well, most of McLaren is owned by a Bahrainian sort of sovereign fund. And in the end, they went to the Bahrainian bank, which is also basically pretty much owned by the same people in Agamemnon's there, but pretty much. I'm sure not technically. So they got bailed out, but it's a fascinating case because they were trying to raise finance off the back of their factory, the McLaren Technology Center, which is incredible. And
they were going to leverage the factory, leverage their car collection, leverage everything as collateral.
But the people who they'd already raised finance a few years ago, and the people that raised finance then basically put their hand up and said, "Hang on a minute, we have the classic car collection in the factory. So you can't basically mortgage something twice." And so they're off to the High Court in the UK to basically define whether, because the people who had the debt originally were now saying, well, our collateral's not worth anything. So, I mean, it's a complete, I'm sure the lawyers are loving it. It's a complete mess. And I'm a big McLaren fan. I enjoy the road cars. And I'm really excited about Formula One coming back this weekend. And it's tough to see. I mean, they've laid off 1,200 people. Most of that's in automotive, only about 75 in Formula One. So it's tough times. And I remember when they set up, I was in the UK and I chatted to a couple of hedge funds who just came to me for, you know, for a bit of kind of expert advice and about whether they should invest. And it's such a tough game, supercars, such a tough game, all the technology, the market. And even if you can afford one, you know, can you be seen driving? That there's so many factors at play. And we've seen it with Aston Martin as well, getting themselves into a right mess. And the DBX launch has just been delayed by a couple of weeks because the electronics aren't quite right. And it's such a tough world. Cars are so expensive.
And there's no room to mess it up, right? And, you know, again, to loop back on Ford, Ford admits that they sort of flubbed the Explorer launch and arguably the Aviator launch, and they don't want to make the mistake with F-150. They don't want to make a mistake with Bronco. Everything is super important, and you can't have a car that comes out and you got to recall all of them for fuel pumps or whatever. Like, manufacturers can't do that. So, to your point, yes, you know, Aston Martin's going to roll out their first SUV. It's got to be pretty good. You know, it's got to work, and I expect it to, and I expect it to be impressive, but they really need to make sure it happens in the right way.
I don't know how much it costs to buy ad time at, you know, in this day and age, but you know, why didn't a major manufacturer buy a 30-second ad? Right. And advertise the launch, drive everybody to a website, you know, on a certain time, a certain day. Yeah, it seems to be money well spent in this circumstance, you know.
Yeah, I think they're seeing some of that on online ads being spent, some online. And of course,
yeah, but do it on TV to drive people online.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. It's like they've always relied on doing the debut events and having the media there and having the media run with it, so it doesn't feel like they're controlling the narrative. The media gets to say, hey, we like this thing, this is going to be cool, or we don't like this, or whatever. But I've got no problem with Ford running a commercial going, hey, Bronco launch is going to be streamed online on YouTube.
Why not?
You know, hey, instead of 30,000 people watching that video for the launch, why don't 3 million people watch that video for the launch? Yeah.
30 million.
Yeah.
I was surprised. I saw that. I watched that same YouTube live show. There's about 30,000 people watching.
Yeah.
I was surprised it was as low as that. I thought they might be just, I don't know what their expectation was, but I thought they might have expected more than that.
You know what? But to Bill's point, I asked several people, I go, hey, let's talk about F-150. Did you guys watch the launch? They all said, I didn't even know there was one.
Exactly.
Yeah. They like nobody
knows.
Across
all forms of media.
Yeah.
During this time, I think that's the smartest way to advertise.
And I'm not just talking about people that would be interested in the truck. I'm talking about like other podcast hosts and stuff. They didn't know that launch was happening. You know, they're just, I don't
know. Put something up as original as humanly possible on a 30-second mm-hmm. ad to draw attention to a destination, period. The way marketing is these days, that's a very simple task.
Yeah.
So,
all right. So a final word on F-150 before we move on to other topics. Alistair, your thoughts on F-150. Are you in? Are you not in? Do you think it's going to be huge for Ford? Do you think the upgrade's too mild? What's your overall? You haven't driven it yet, I don't think. But, you have some information that the rest of us don't have, but we did see the presentation. What are your thoughts? Is this going to leapfrog the current Ram model, or do you think it's just bringing it up to equal playing ground?
I think everything they've done is sensible. And I think, it is kind of where the criticisms of the old vehicle were, particularly the interior starting to feel really dated. So I think there's nothing on there that you'd think was a bad call. It'd be interesting to see how it drives. You mentioned the rear suspension. But yeah, as I said, I think that, Ram versus F-150, will throw the Silverado in there, will be a great test for us at the end of the year. I think the last one we did has got about 2 million views, and this one I'm sure will do the same. The big one, as I mentioned, Silverado now feels like an old product. So GM's got a big job on their hands there. But yeah, I mean, it looks good. The interior looks terrific. There's some really clever details. Hybrid, yeah, I'm sure it's going to be expensive, but that brings, some new toys to the party and is a bit of a unique selling point for Ford. So yeah, I'm excited about it. Also excited about Bronco. It's a big year for Ford.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's good to know. Let's introduce our friends
Bronco
at McGuire's.
Looks good, by the way.
The Bronco? Is that what you said?
I've seen it. Yeah, it looks good. I can't say anything because it's like Swan and Six. It looks good.
Yeah. Okay. Well, then we might talk about it. We might not talk about it. We'll find out. It's going to happen soon. Well, we know this. It's going to happen in July, and that's good timing for us. So let's schedule for you to come back on the show right around after Bronco launch. And get your thoughts on it as well. Again, they oftentimes send out information to you, to me, whatever, that we can't talk about yet. They're just kind of getting us primed for the conversation, and we're embargoed on saying stuff. But I want to welcome McGuire's, new sponsor to CarCast. Car Waxes, they've come a long way. Last year, McGuire's has introduced their hybrid ceramic spray wax. It's advanced SiO2 hybrid technology. It delivers ceramic wax protection and durability. There's really no rubbing or curing or buffing. It provides an extreme water beating action, which is fantastic. And this year, McGuire's has launched their liquid version. It seals the paint for long-lasting protection against the elements. It's easy to use and applies like a traditional wax. Also, they have a hybrid ceramic spray detailer you guys should check out. This removes contaminants like dust and fingerprints and bird droppings, and it helps to boost the gloss and enhances the protection. It's a really cool spray detailer in between the major detailing that you want to do on your car. So check it out. It's ceramic made easy by McGuire's, and McGuire's can be found pretty much everywhere, every store, every local auto parts store and online and whatever. So check them out. Thanks, McGuire's. I want to ask you about the C8 Corvette, and I don't know why. Maybe it's just my feeling on this, but it feels like this car is old already, and we don't have any real information. It's like, there's a few on the streets, and some people are developing exhaust kits and doing stuff, but it just felt like it was the hottest thing in the world, and now all the fanfare is dead on it. And I realize it's because it debuted and then production delays and COVID and this and that. And here we are, I don't know. It feels like it was a year ago, maybe 10 months ago when it debuted. When did we go to like the hangar down in Orange County, the big hangars down there and did the debut? It was September?
Yeah.
Maybe it was September. Maybe not quite a year. Maybe we're nine months into it.
I drove it in November last year, I think, just before our award stuff. I think it was like end of October, beginning of November that I drove it.
Okay, so now, do we have any real test information on this car yet? Have you been able to put it on your track? Do we know what this thing is doing?
Well, actually, the one that we're buying is imminent. It's been built in mid-July. So I'm actually hoping to go down in Kentucky and film it being built. It's just a little bit dicey at the moment with the whole, situation we find ourselves in, flying down to Nashville and stuff. So we're just looking into that. But yeah, we should have ours at the end of July. I mean, this car was supposed to be built last December and we were expecting to get it in January. But then you had the UAW strike, which delayed production. Mm-hmm. Then that had pretty much been sorted out when COVID hit. So our car is literally 7 or 8 months late.
It feels weird because we're seeing them. We're seeing like the YouTubers. We're seeing the videos of we're seeing companies going, hey, we got one on the dyno, and then we've got one. We're developing an exhaust kit, and Speedcore's doing all these carbon fiber pieces.
Everything
for it.
Seems old after Hennessy does their thing to it,
right?
Right?
Yeah,
that's when it seems to be okay. It's been out here long enough to where okay. Well, what's next?
Well, it seems like everybody's doing all this aftermarket stuff on a car that doesn't exist, and we don't even have. Testing.
On the road.
No, we haven't heard like the test numbers. Like, I want Alistair to come in and go, hey, everything that Chevy's been barking about this car is dead on. This car is fast and it handles great and it's comfortable. And there are a lot of buttons on the interior, or it turns out all the buttons make sense. Like, nobody knows. I feel like we should know. Hurry up.
If
your
anything,
car.
The only thing we know is what they sold 2,500. Is that correct? And the only thing that we really do know is that it's going to be a car worth a little bit of money because of the low production numbers in the first year of the car.
Yeah.
The only thing I know about it, basically.
It's a danger. I remember like there was a bit like the same with the Honda or the Acura NSX that I think there was like a 5-year lag between them showing the car at the Detroit show and it actually going on sale. And by the time it went on sale, you're a bit like, seen that.
Yeah. Well,
It feels and it just psychologically feels a bit old. And actually, a C8 passed me near home the other day, and I looked at it and thought it was a mid-engine Corvette. And you're just like,
yeah, forgot about those. Yeah. That's the thing, is it feels like it's a huge flop. It's not. It's just not out there yet, but it just feels like it came out. We were all excited about it. And now we don't see any on the road. And a few people are modifying the ones that are out there. And so like the only ones that exist feel like they're just like on YouTube and a handful of people. Look,
the unicorn.
Yeah. Like, look, Richard Waitis at Magnaflow, they've had one in there. They're developing all the exhaust kits and doing the thermal testing and all the sound and all that crazy stuff. And it looks fantastic. But that full exhaust kit's going to be out long before the car. Right? I don't know how, like, as soon as Alistair gets his, they're going to take it to the test track. Edmunds is going to run numbers on it. And then you guys should start modifying it because there's going to be more parts available than there will be vehicles. You know, like, it's very likely that whatever the next version, the Z06 or ZR1 version, is probably going to come out around the same time as the delivery of the normal C8.
Yeah, Z06, we're getting a lot of spy pictures. That's that's well on its way. I think ZR1 will be behind it, but yeah, Z06 is definitely on its way.
Do they end up?
Sorry, Matt.
I was gonna say, is there a move for them to go, hey, Z06 was going to debut this year and be on the lots in January, but they're saying, I don't know, maybe they should push to August 21 just so they don't cut into sales of and deliveries of the C8.
Maybe. And I think Ford's actually done a good job of not launching the Bronco because, they delayed that launch.
Yeah, but we've been waiting for that for 10 years, so we're fine.
Yeah. But there is a danger in unveiling something then saying, oh, it's not going on sale for, for another year and a half or whatever it is.
Doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, I mean, I get there's... COVID and whatever, and there's some rules. There's some things that change the rules on us, so there's not a lot we can do there for that. But anyway, it's kind of interesting, and yeah, we we're excited about hearing you talk about the Edmunds C8 when it comes in. And what color did you guys get?
I think the launch of the Z06 gives them another opportunity for a first launch, maybe. I mean, that's another way to look at it.
You're right. It's a re-release. Like, arguably, the C8 launch at the, last year was a soft opening, and now we've got the grand opening coming up. You know, I haven't even bothered reaching out to GM to say, "Hey, can we get one to test?" Because I don't want to be a pest about it and go like, "Hey, man, we've been talking about the C8 for 10 months now. Maybe we should start driving one." You know, so I'm sure everybody on the planet's asking for that. So it'll just happen when it happens. But you know, yeah, we'd love to get some seat time in it, and it's going to end up being one of these things where I don't know, someone gets one before we even get a press fleet, and we'll end up driving one of those just to come back here and offer an opinion on it. You know, it's very likely, Alistair, you'll get the Edmunds C8 before the press fleet in LA gets C8.
Yeah, I think that's probably true. Yeah.
I guess that's what's good about you guys. You guys get the orders in and spend money that we don't have to spend over here. Let me. I want to just touch on a couple of the videos and stuff you have coming out soon. I want to plug some of that stuff before we run out of time. Just a reminder from our friends at Dodge, summertime is the best time to join the Brotherhood of Muscle, because Dodge Power Dollars means you get a guaranteed discount. And the math is simple. You've heard us talk about it before. You get $10 off based on the total horsepower of your Dodge vehicle. So every 2020 Challenger, every 2020 Durango, 2020 Charger, they all offer power dollars. You get the most out of your horsepower this summer with $10 off for each horsepower. That means you can go into the dealer, you can enjoy the sweet sounds of your new Charger SRT Scat Pack with 485 horsepower and get $4,850 off. And this summer, Power Dollars is back on the Dodge Durango. This wasn't available before for a while, but now we're back. So when you're behind the wheel of a Dodge Durango, you're behind the wheel of a performance-driven SUV. And whether you're rolling around with your friends or family, you'll be able to fit everyone, because Durango's got 7 passenger seating capacity. So we love that. So get more power, get more off. It's that simple. Hurry into your local Dodge dealer now to take advantage of Dodge Power Dollars. Bill, did you ask them if the Power Dollars was available on the TRX that you're your advance ordering?
I will tomorrow.
Yeah, you should go back and ask
them. I'm finally picking up the Ram, the 99. This thing, I don't even want to get. I'm not even going to get into
it. We don't have enough time. We don't have enough time. We're gonna save it for the next one. We'll get into more projects.
Let's just say that the 392 in the 99 Ram is finally coming home 2.5 years after I sent it out. So.
All right. Well, listen, I've got a Mustang on a lift for 4 years. So
yes, I understand.
I went in and I worked on it this weekend. I was working on those supercharger brackets. So I did go in there and get some work done. I felt good about it. You know, mostly I stood there and scratched my head and walked around looking for tools that I couldn't find, but I did get some stuff done. Alistair, give us a heads up of what's going on over at Edmunds. I know you guys did something with a new Mini. Was it the GP? I always liked the GP.
Yeah, we've got a test coming up at the GP, actually presenting that one myself. Sort of spoiler alert, it's not that good. We had it down the track, and it's just one of those, you know, where they just turn the power up so much that the front disc struggling. It's an interesting test because it's really fast in a straight line, and we did all the numbers on it. I'm not a massive fan of the way it goes around corners. But that's coming up. We just launched a film on the F-150, if you want to know more about that. Bronco, we've already had a bit of access to that. We're waiting for that launch to happen, because you know they delayed it because they originally were going to launch it on OJ Simpson's birthday.
What a so terrible coincidence, right? Like,
sometimes you just worry about like the press office when they just send me tweets that, and they're like, that's coming out. Excited about that. We've got a ton of stuff. I mean, we're back filming, we're back testing. You know, admittedly in trickier conditions, but yeah, we're fully on it.
All right. So remind everybody, we're going to edmunds.com/roadnoise. That's basically the feed for all the new stuff, all the great videos and stuff out there. And of course, all the research as you're shopping around, you go to edmunds.com as well. So I'm trying to think if there was anything that we wanted to touch on that we're running out of time now, but is there anything that we needed to get to?
Not from my perspective. It's nice chatting to you guys again.
All right. Well, and also the biggest news in the car world is, of course, the new Instagram handle for Alistair. It's Weaver on Cars. He's no longer Weevometer. Get rid of that. Forget you even heard it. Weaver on Cars is his new Instagram handle, and Alistair Weaver on Twitter. And of course, you can find Goldberg and I, Moderator, on all the social media as well.
Weaver on Cars on Instagram. Follow him or I'll kill you.
There you go.
There you go. That's a lovely sentiment.
I love you, Alistair.
It's a lovely sentiment from Bill.
follow this splendid chap, Goldberg, on Instagram at all times.
Love you guys.
We made it through the entire show without making Alistair say a Mach-E. He said electric Mustang just so he wouldn't have to say Mach-E or Mach 1.
You're losing your timing, Matt,
yes.
Because
right.
I thought you would have tricked him into it.
I know. All right, so this is what we've got coming up soon. I'll give you a little teaser on this. We're going to get into some of the projects we've got going on. In July, mid-July, after the Bronco debut, we'll have Alistair back on. He's got a lot of inside track, hopefully more than what you're even going to see in the debut on Bronco. He said he's seen it. He loves it. And cosmetically, at least, and we'll get more details on that. And then also our buddy Dave from Speedcore will be joining us, I think, in a couple of weeks. And I want to talk about, we mentioned C8. They're developing a bunch of carbon stuff for the C8. We mentioned their partnership with Classic Restorations and the full carbon fiber 67 Mustang that they're doing. We've got some cool stuff to talk about with him. It's always fun chatting with those guys. I know, Bill, you got a car going to them when Gearheads is done with the Charger. It's going back over to them. We'll touch a little bit on that as well. So a lot of cool stuff coming up in the next few weeks as well. Guys, thank you so much. Thanks you so much for listening, and let's do it next week. More stuff. Until next time, keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
And remember, roll bars in a four-door are very practical.
and your Charger.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.
Thanks for listening. We always enjoy when Alistair's on the show. And just a reminder from our friends at Geico. Right now, Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies. That's 15% on top of the money Geico already saves you. So what are you waiting for? Your dog to make you breakfast in bed? Well, that's never going to happen. Saving money can happen now. There's never been a better time. So switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch before or by October 7th. That's the deadline. Go to geico.com to learn more.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.